number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, Rob from Wisconsin had called in the last hour about the Lakers and Byron Scott. And basically the push for Kevin Durant and all that other kind of stuff and where things are heading. Byron Scott is an interesting, it's just an interesting study because of what teams need to do in certain situations. And Byron Scott's hiring was to basically stabilize the team until they got to this point where they're at right now. Kobe is gone. So you don't have to worry about dealing with Kobe. You don't have to worry about playing parade the old time athlete around the league thing. You're not responsible for that segment of the Laker history. You're now looking for the guy that you can hire that can take you to the next level. And Rob was talking about, hey, look, they could have hired Scott Brooks, and that might have helped them in their pursuit of Kevin Durant. And I think you're onto something in a way. But I also throw in these caveats. I am just curious, and this is just me, I am curious as to why, if Kevin Durant loves Scott Brooks, like some people in Washington think, in terms of he's now with the Wizards and now the Wizards have a chance of getting Durant because it's his hometown and all that stuff. If he loves Scott Brooks so much, how come he didn't say to the management of the Thunder, don't fire him? Because that seems to make sense. And that's a theory that's been gone around to the people who want to counter the Wizards' argument is we didn't love him enough to save him. Now, sometimes the answer to that question is athletes don't want to get involved in that kind of front office mess because they don't want the reputation of being a coach killer or they're attached to something. They just want they want the team to do what the team does. There's not a sense of owing anybody anything. Because if you're Durant and you're going into free agency, and you know you're going into free agency after this next season, right? So you got this next season coming up, and they're going to fire Scott Brooks and bring in a new coach. You might think, you know what? I can survive the new coach for 1 year before I start dabbling in free agency or whatever. I can handle that coach for a small period of time. But I don't want to have the organization hold anything over me. I don't want to feel guilty about keeping a guy that nobody wanted or anything like that. Maybe that's how he feels. I don't know. These are just speculations on my part. I don't think hiring Scott Brooks brings Kevin Durant to the Lakers. I think what would bring Kevin Durant to the Lakers is the Lakers. And the Lakers, again, they're an iconic franchise. They are one of the most important franchises in sports. Forget basketball, sports. And if you have that sense of history or you like that of being part of that kind of history, being a part of the rebuilding of the Lakers is appealing to a few players. Look, there's no place like Los Angeles with the Lakers if you're winning. That it is one of the best places to win at. You have Hollywood at your fingertips. You're part of a long, great legacy. And they know how to take care of their stars. So if you're Kevin Durant and you want, you know, that the place where it's, you know, everything will be at your tips and you can win. Yeah, the Lakers are appealing. The problem is that the dynamic of the NBA, the way the world is shrinking, you don't need big markets. You don't need New York and Los Angeles or Chicago. You don't need these places. They don't carry the same level of off the court appeal. You can do things in Oklahoma City. You can do things in New Orleans. You can do things in Portland. You can be part of things in other markets. It's not necessarily a, you know, go to LA, go to Boston, go to New York, go to Chicago kind of world we live in now. It used to be that way. If you wanted serious off the court dollars, those were the markets you went to. But you do not have to do that now. So for Durant, there may be more things in play. It used to be guys would get to be a free agent, they'd run to Los Angeles. Shaq did it, right? Dwight Howard did it. You'd run to Los Angeles to be part of the Lakers, be part of something there. That's not necessarily the world we live in now. But outside of the tradition, and again, the Lakers are filled with tradition, I would say hiring Scott Brooks wouldn't have mattered. All right, let's go to Robin in Tulsa. You're next up on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Good morning, Tony. How are we doing?
Good morning. What's on your mind tonight?
Okay, as a Laker fan, I think the leading candidate will be Kevin Ollie because he's about 43 years old, he's respected in the league, and on the Kevin Durant situation, he was on the same team the first couple years Kevin Durant came into the league, Supersonics, Oklahoma City, and he kind of gravitated to him. So if you're going to play those kind of cards, Scott Brooks or the Wizards to get Kevin Durant, I think they would go after Kevin Ollie.
Kevin Ollie, you cannot stress this enough. Kevin Ollie is very popular in the NBA of those who played with him. And that's a guy who bounced around the league a while. He is very, very popular with people who ran into him in the NBA. You are right about that. That would sound very appealing to Durant. I think more so than Brooks, because with Brooks, he may have loved and respected Brooks. I don't know what his true feelings for Brooks were. But he could have saved him. He could have saved Brooks. That was an easy sell to management. Look, keep the coach. I'm not happy with this decision. Keep the coach. We were very injured. That's why we didn't make the playoffs. We lost all these man hours to injuries. That was a very tough hill for us to climb. It is not his fault. Keep the coach. That's a very simple thing to have said to management, and he did not do that.
I mean, Scott Brooks wasn't a bad coach, but he kind of got predictable in fourth quarters of playoff games.
Yeah, sure he did. That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
I think they got placement, and I think, like I said, the Kevin Ollie is just really, to me, intriguing if you're going to get Kevin Durant. And I already think in 2 years from now, Russell Westbrook will be in L.A.
Kevin Ollie is a really good name to keep an eye on. That's an excellent, excellent call. Thank you, Robin. Appreciate it. That is a very good point. Who else is in the running? Did you see any reports? I mean, it was Kevin Ollie. It was Luke Walton.
I haven't really seen any names attached yet.
I don't know anybody else.
Too close, but
I mean, it would have been Brooks and Thibodeau, but they're gone.
Yeah, and Thibodeau wouldn't have taken the job if you believe everything you read, because he wanted full control.
Yeah, he's not getting that. No chance. They ain't gonna give Tom Thibodeau the control of the Lakers.
No, exactly. So I keep leaning towards Luke Walton. Kevin Ollie is a good one with everything, with the way everybody's talked about him and NBA players and how he's loved around the league.
Is Kevin Ollie sellable? I don't know if you have to sell the Laker job to the Laker fan, but let's say you did. Let's say you had to make a push and say, look, we are rebuilding and we've got the right guy in place. Kevin Ollie's, he's won an NCAA tournament. He's a good college coach. He's a popular NBA guy. But I wonder if Luke Walton just is the sexy name in the clubhouse right
now. I think Luke Walton is definitely the sexy name, because his name came up with every job available.
Every job. He's a former Laker. He did a great job in Golden State. And listen, I'm going to say, don't give me the whole, I said this earlier tonight. Those people who want to push off Luke Walton's record because he's driving a Ferrari with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, the rest of the group, you still have to manage minutes and coach. It's not pickup basketball. You're playing NBA teams. You don't just roll out the ball and go. He did a great job coaching that team and making sure that, that they were on that big win streak, but you still have to manage your team and manage players, and you still have to keep everything together. And he did a great job. But if I'm a Laker fan and let's say Luke Walton is the guy, my question would be, listen, this is still a real work in progress that we're putting together here. A young Luke Walton, can he handle the work in progress? I said last week, Luke Walton should run from the Knicks job. I mean, if the Knicks are pursuing him, he should run from that. That is too much of a mess to be associated with. The Lakers are a mess too, but I always feel that the Lakers feel like there's more. They have a better direction than the Knicks.
The Lakers are a mess moving in the right direction. The Knicks are a mess moving in the wrong direction.
Let me put this in a lingo you may understand with kids. The Knicks are a box of Legos with no instructions. You can still build stuff, but it may look like a multicolored house. The Lakers are a mess, but there's a book, right? There's a book, and if you follow the book, you might be able to build a plane that looks really neat that doesn't fall apart.
My question is, tomorrow, before our show starts tomorrow night, will we see somebody with a relevant name in the media talk about Mike Krzyzewski and this job with the Lakers. Because his name always comes up.
Oh, that's a yes. Totally forgot about him. You have to, right? Every time the Lakers have added a job opening, Coach K is mentioned. Almost. And that's been going on for like 20 years.
Yeah. Or Tom Izzo.
Or Tom Izzo.
In there.
800-777-2907. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, shameless plug. Like us on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show. Usually give you the schedule of what's going on that night. So like us there. Also on Twitter at Tony D Radio. You want to comment anything? Some of you want to get in a point or two, but you don't want to call or whatever. Tweet us, Tony D Radio. We'll read it. We'll respond to it. Let's just put it that way. All right, Johnny Manziel has been indicted by the Dallas County District Attorney's Office. It says he's been indicted on charges of misdemeanor assault with bodily injury. This from Pro Football Talk. The indictment occurred even though a settlement has been reached between Manziel and his girlfriend, Colleen Crowley, or ex-girlfriend, Colleen Crowley. A civil settlement in case involving potential criminal charges will result directly or indirectly in short-circuiting of the criminal case. It is unknown whether Crowley testified before the grand jury. It's possible that the evidence was strong enough to indict Manziel without her testimony. The real question is whether the conviction can be obtained without her testimony. Misdemeanor assault? I was led to believe this was really, really serious. Like he really hit her and threatened to kill her, and they got in a car and it was reckless driving. Wasn't there like a helicopter like that chased him or something like that?
Yeah, there was something to do with a helicopter.
Like I'm like, yeah, like it wasn't just a newscopter, wasn't it? It was a big deal. I mean, when this went down, it seemed like Manziel had really lost it. And now this is a misdemeanor? I didn't know there was a misdemeanor for hitting your girlfriend. I thought pretty much it was all felonies. But then again, I didn't go to law school, so what do I know? I don't know what to do with this story. I really don't. I'm outraged by Manziel's behavior. I really am. I mean, I'm just angry about it because I don't, you know, it's, you want to destroy yourself, fine. You want to, you know, drive yourself into oblivion, fine. Striking your girlfriend and threatening to kill her is going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. But there is a part of me that is wondering, is he rebelling against something? Is he fighting a demon that nobody saw at all? Like not at Texas A&M, nowhere in Cleveland, at nowhere. Is he fighting something that is a lot bigger than just alcohol? Because it's one thing to be Johnny Football having fun being Johnny Football. But there's another thing to be, I am okay with this self-destructive behavior and I don't want to change. And I don't know what to make out of it because I see people tonight lamenting it. He threw it all away. He had it all and he threw it all away. Well, he didn't have it all. No, that's not true. He didn't have it all and threw it away. He was an unproven NFL commodity. It doesn't matter if he was sober. It doesn't matter if he was high. It doesn't matter if he was on whatever. He was an unproven NFL commodity. He didn't have it all and threw it away. He won a Heisman Trophy like a lot of other people have done, and he wasn't making it in the National Football League like a lot of other Heisman Trophy winners. Yes, he was young. Yes, he was popular. Yes, he lived a lifestyle a lot of young men would have liked to live. Heck, a lot of old guys like me would have liked to have lived when I was in college. I mean, I saw the pictures in the Scooby-Doo outfit. Those were some nice-looking women he was hanging around with. But he didn't throw it all away. And I'm wondering if he is responding or he is rebelling for something on that. The NFL, as we've said time and time again, waits for nobody. You either can do it or you can't. There is no projects. And we talk about this with Tebow. Right? Where people will say, I don't understand why Tebow doesn't have a job. It's because he's a Christian. Oh, because he prays. No, it's nothing to do with any of that. There's plenty of Christians and there's plenty of people. The league doesn't slow down. So if you can't play a particular position very well, it doesn't slow down and wait for you to catch up to it. And the speed of the game is much faster. And the learning curve is much quicker. And I wonder if there is a moment during the first season where Manziel realized this is going to be a lot harder, and I don't know if I want it that badly. This is just me speculating. I know nothing else, but it's just me speculating. And sometimes I feel guilty speculating in serious topics, like a future of somebody that's on a, you know, on a real self-destructive path. But he is so much poison right now that the only thing that he has a career in doing is becoming a professional partier. That's it. He is poison. Because what if you're in the league, if you're in the NFL, what are you going to do? Give him a chance, like, where, oh no, you know, come here and we'll send you to rehab and then we'll wait for you to get out. Then when you get out, we'll work with you. We'll get a quarterback's coach and work with you and get your skills back up. Remember when Michael Vick got out of jail? Like, the amount of selling his people had to do to get Michael Vick back on an NFL team. Michael Vick didn't become a project out of prison where the Eagles were like, yeah, come on the team and just do what you got to do to get back into shape. We'll wait. No, the people behind Michael Vick were saying, look, he's coming out of jail. He's rehabilitated. He's really sorry. He's changed. He's a different person. And oh, by the way, while he was in prison, he's been working out very, very hard for an opportunity to get back in this league. So that anybody that took a look at him could realize that he didn't lose a step, or he wasn't out of shape. He didn't get sucked into becoming fat in prison and then needed to go burn off a few calories. You have to come, you go to those things all ready to go. And I don't know if Manziel is ever going to be ready to go, but this is a really sad tale. Yes, and yes, you can be outraged like a lot of people about hitting the girlfriend. But the reality is, this is a guy that he's on some sort of path that it's destructive, but there's more to it. It just feels like there's more to it. It's like he's rebelling against something. It's like he's saying, you thought this is what I was supposed to do, and I played the part, and now I don't want to play the part anymore. And I'm going to destroy everything that you ever thought I was going to be. I'm going to tear it down. I'm going to rip it apart. I don't know. And again, I don't want to say dad, or I don't want to say family. I don't want to speculate that much. But it sounds like he's telling somebody, I am not this person. I am not going to be this person. I never really wanted this. Because it's amazing at his age, and he didn't get kicked to the curb unfairly. Like, that's the other thing about this. It's not like he was screwed. He got kicked out because of all of the things that he did. And for no other reason than, you're too much. And his answer might not be, oh, you think I'm too much? He might just be, yeah, I know. It's kind of what I wanted. I know. Because rather than face the going into the league and working and failing, it's almost like he already can predict the future and says, I'm not going to make it. I can't make it. I'm not going to make it in this league. I went out there and I tried a couple times, but this is too much. I don't want it. And now it's not that I want to go away quietly. I'm going to go away in this way, rebelling against all the people that told me this is the direction I had to go. Maybe I'm overstating this. Maybe I'm overthinking this. I've been known to do that. Forgive me. But I just feel like there's more to this. The thing is, when I see people on Facebook say, like, what a jerk. What? Yeah, if you're talking about hitting the girlfriend, yeah. But if you're talking about just drinking and throwing away an NFL career, there is an angle of sympathy that I'll have. There is an angle of, maybe he just never wanted this like we thought he was. Maybe we were sold somebody else's dream for him rather than his dream for him. And if that's the case, then the best way to get out of being trapped is to just admit it and not go down this self-destructive path. I do feel bad for him in that way, but only in that way. All right, round Major League Baseball. That's next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, it is time to go around Major League Baseball, the day in MLB. What is this music, by the way? It's kind of cute and catchy.
It's RBI Baseball.
Oh, my God, really? That's where I thought it. That is old.
Yes.
That is great. I loved RBI baseball. I can't believe I didn't recognize it.
Yes. Just that's awesome. All the little sounds you make from when you get the hit. And
yeah.
Yeah.
A little RBI baseball as we go around MLB. All right, let's start in New York where the Rays beat the Yankees 8-1. The Yankees still took 2 of 3, if you can believe that, the way they're playing. But you know what I found interesting about this game was Michael Pineda. Listen to this. He gave up 4 home runs. He gave up 7 runs total, but he struck out 9. So he's either dominating a batter or basically getting walked on. Just destroyed.
Yeah, he's always been a big strikeout guy. It's just everything else you can't
everything
trust
about else. Him. The Rays overall hit 5 home runs. Steven Souza homered twice as the Rays salvage a game and did not get swept. Toronto over Oakland 6-3. Jose Bautista had a 2-run homer. That was his 4th of the year. The A's with 3 home runs as well. The A's, are they a major home run hitting team? Because I feel like we every time we talk about the A's, they always hit a lot of home runs.
No, they're not supposed to be a major.
Right, they're not supposed to be.
They're not supposed to be, but they are hitting them.
They seem to be doing that now. Cleveland over Detroit 6-3. You and I were talking about this. Carlos Carrasco getting tearing his hamstring. Running to first base or an ACL?
I believe it was Achilles. I did not.
Achilles, okay.
Yes,
maybe it's Achilles.
I believe it was Achilles.
Running to cover first base.
That's a huge loss if he's out.
Did he trip over anything?
Just running to cover first base. He might have tripped over his own foot, but it looked like just the way he ran over there, he kind of buckled and went down. And normally,
how does that happen?
Kind of running like that, it's just the Achilles just goes.
I am fat and I exercise. I don't tear a hamstring. I don't even know if I have a hamstring to tear. How does that happen to an athlete?
It's insane.
I see it all the time. Like they're just running and boom, pop, gone. Forget it. Tore an ACL or something like that. It's like, wow. A Marlon Byrd drove in 2 for the Indians. They sweep Detroit. That is not good for Detroit. Just hang around for a little bit. Mets over the Braves 3-2. They complete the sweep over the Braves. Everyone's completing the sweep against the Braves.
Yes.
Okay. Jacob DeGrom, though, had an issue with his son, and he came back and he pitched really well. So the Mets get the win 3-2 at Turner Field. The Washington Nationals. Are we going to do this every night with the Nationals?
I think so.
I think so, right? Bryce Harper hits a home run, and then when Steven Strasburg pitches, he strikes out a bunch of people. He had 10 over 7 1/3. The Nationals have now won 7 in a row. God bless them. As they beat Minnesota 6-5. Harper hit his 9th.
Yes, he hit his 9th, and that was a pinch hit.
Pinch hit
home run in the 9th inning to lead off the inning to tie it to eventually send it to extra innings.
Was he given the day off and then just pinched hit, or was that overall Dusty Baker strategy was like, I'll give you the day off, but I'll probably pinch hit you, so stick around?
No, he was just given the day off, you know, for rest, and it just
tight
so
game.
Happened. The pitching spot, it wasn't like he was put in the game and then he played the rest of the game.
Right.
He came in for the pitcher spot and just got the one at bat, hit the home run, and was out the rest of the game.
Is that not a drop the mic thing? Just to use a phrase kids are using these days, the drop the mic thing from Bryce Harper. It's like, hey, listen, I was supposed to have the day off there, Minnesota Twins, but because you've called me into service with your sticking around this game, I'll blast a home run for you. Thanks. See you later, St. Paul.
It's amazing.
And it's crazy.
What's funny is the spot he took was 2nd in the order when he came in, and Chris Heisey hit the game-winning home run, the walk-off home run, in that same spot. So
how many home runs does Barry Bonds have in a single season? 73?
Yes.
Please hit him. Please hit 74.
I actually saw a stat today. Right now, Bryce Harper is hitting a home run every 6.9 at-bats.
That's great.
Barry Bonds, when he hit 73, was hitting them at 6.5 every at-bat. So
somebody's
close to pace. He's
close.
Probably on pace for 70, 71 right now.
I'm making an urge to pitchers around Major League Baseball. Just groove him a pitch every time. I swear to God, you'll get over it. You know, you'll be fine. Just get him to 75 so we can just say that one of the greatest hitters of all times was Bryce Harper, not Barry Bonds. Guy we can all at least go, hey, we love Barry. You know, Bryce Harper's fun for the game. He's great. Chicago White Sox over Texas 4-1. Matt Latos is 4-0 with a .74 ERA.
And Texas is one of the better offenses in the league.
When did this? Did I wake up from a cave that Matt Latos has now got an ERA of less than 1?
There was a lot of talk when he signed with the White Sox that could he even get to three wins to be worth $1 million
Absolutely.
Per win? And now he's 4-0 in four starts. So
4-0 with an ERA over under one. Let me repeat that, under one. What I mean, what world am I living in where Matt Latos is an ERA of under one? Is this bizarro world? I'm sorry. Did I wake up in an alternate universe? Am I going to go outside and find aliens running around? We've been taken over? I mean, God, this is great.
He's only given up 13 hits in 24 innings.
No. That's not the world that I grew up living in, my friend. That's not the world I grew up living in. Matt Latos is not supposed to have a 0.74 ERA. Milwaukee topped Philadelphia 8-5. Ryan Braun homered for the Brew Crew. Kansas City over Baltimore 6-1. Eric Hosmer and Alex Gordon homered for the Royals. Seattle over the Angels 9-4. Mariners hit three home runs. Albert Pujols hit a home run for the Angels, his third of the year. Marlins over San Francisco. I literally found nothing interesting in the box score of this game.
No.
JT Realmuto homered, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
I believe Stanton homered as well. If
did
I
he? Oh, I, if I that I must have missed that, because if he did, I would have wrote that.
Yes, he did. In my fourth.
Did he?
Yes.
I apologize, America. Giancarlo Stanton hitting a home run is worthy of my attention, and I did not give it because I must have missed it.
But that's about
that's
it.
That's sloppy on my part, though. Let's see here. L.A. Dodgers over the Colorado Rockies 12-10. Dodgers score 5 in the ninth. This is another one of those Coors Field slugfests.
Yeah, it was a strange game. Lot going on here.
Corey Seager drove in 3. Our friend Trevor Story did not homer. So the Pirates over Arizona 12-10. You know how you're just playing RBI baseball? This yep. was RBI baseball. Yep. This was a 12-10 game. The Pirates had 20 hits in the game. The Diamondbacks had 15. What, nobody pitched on Sunday? They went out and went like, hey, it's random fan pitch a game night.
My favorite thing about this game, Brandon Drury, who started the game in right field for Arizona, went 3-for-7 on the game. But my favorite part is, at one point, he went from right field to third base. And then when another move was made, he went back to right field.
Nice.
And then another move was made, he went to second base and played.
Oh, very good.
So he got 3 of the 9.
Good, good. Shelby Miller played the outfield?
Yeah, Shelby Miller played some left field.
Well done. The Cardinals over the Padres, 8-5. Matt Carpenter drove in a run, and a couple of guys hit a home run. Let's see here. And the Red Sox beat the Houston Astros 7-5 in 12. Colby Rasmus, 2-run homer in the ninth, tied the game, gave everybody free baseball. Except people at Minute Maid Park didn't tend to stick around for free baseball.
No, they were gone.
Like they were long gone. And this is what we noticed when we were watching the game before the show. Behind home plate, there was like 3 people, and one of the guys was Marlins man.
Just hanging out by himself.
All alone. Marlins man went to the Rockets game and then went to the Astros game behind home plate. And he said, and this was the funny quote of the night, just like the Rockets game, I was by myself. I love Marlins man. I can't get enough of him.
Well, with the way the Rockets played and don't care about this season anymore, they didn't want to win the one game they won. And the way the Astros have started, I believe they have the worst record in the AL.
Yeah, oh,
nobody in Houston wants to be anywhere around sports.
No. Oh, my God. Are the Astros bad?
I mean, they're looking forward to the Texans and Houston Cougars.
When can we put Andy Pondillo, our very own Andy Pondillo, on Astros watch? Like, we have to. There's got to be a point where somebody has to answer for this.
He needs and to be I put want, on watch because I know what type
yeah, I know.
Of fan
he's,
he is.
He's losing his mind. Right. Andy Pondillo of Yahoo Sports Radio is slowly going. It's only April 25th, and Andy Pondillo is in a straitjacket and yep. eating pudding because the Astros are terrible, and he can't mentally handle it. But there, when he comes to his senses, there's a part of me that wants to bring him on to answer for why the Astros, everyone's darling from last season, stink. But I'm afraid he'll just lose it on me. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. So the busy weekend in the sports world, at least from the NBA standpoint, we'll wait on Steph Curry's injury to see how real it is going to be. I know Steve Kerr. They're going to go after Steve. People are going to go, oh, Steve Kerr, why? Look, it wasn't the same injury. He didn't aggravate it. It was totally separate. But if you're the Warriors and Steph Curry can play, what are you going to do? You can't put him in a bubble the whole time. You got to play him. You lost. You play him. See where it goes. But don't, no more. Like, if it's going to be okay, don't, just let him chill out for a while. He's going to beg and scream that he wants to get out there. But if you're Steve Kerr, chill out. Because you got a tough series going to be coming up with either the Clippers or the Trailblazers, more likely the Clippers. And then the Spurs, because I don't see anybody beating the Spurs. And maybe OKC could give the Spurs a handle. But whoever you're going to play in the Western Conference Finals, you get that far. You're going to need a rested Steph Curry, and don't mess around. This is going to be a very interesting barometer where these playoffs go. But otherwise, the playoffs are a mess. These are bad first-round matchups. I don't expect them to be great. I don't have this high expectation that an 8 should be in a 7-game knock-em-out, drag-out series with a 1. I don't necessarily need all the series to be tight. I really would like some more drama, though. It's just not good. It's not as entertaining as I've seen other first rounds. They seem uninspired. And I hate to say this, but the Houston Rockets are an embarrassment. The Houston Rockets want out of these playoffs. And if they want out of these playoffs so bad, they should just say so. Instead of making people come to games and watch them do nothing. If you didn't watch the Rockets-Warriors game today, when Steph Curry went out, it was a close game. Steph Curry's not coming back. The Rockets are at home. They have a chance to tie the series. Now, a couple of things on this. One, I don't care if you don't think you can beat the Golden State Warriors. If you can get that series 2-2 and Steph Curry is legitimately out, you've got a better puncher's chance in a best of three. Get it to 2-2, make it a best 2 out of 3 and see what happens. Two, you mean to tell me nobody on that team thinks it's worthy to try to upset the number one overall seed and a team that won 73 games? Nobody? Do they all have golf tee times they can't cancel? Do they all have private jet rentals that they just can't get their money back on? Must be, because nobody on the Rockets looks like they want to be in these playoffs. How else do you explain getting whipped apart in the second half by a team that does not have Steph Curry and you just standing around going, just shoot. 21 three-pointers the Warriors made. 21. If you don't want to be in the playoffs, have everybody fake massive injuries and forfeit. My God. But instead, the Warriors are going through the motions. You've probably all seen the famous video of the Rockets bench on Thursday night when James Harden hit the shot that put them up. And the people going, the Rockets going, oh, great. That means we're going to go back to Oakland. Ugh. Now, these playoffs haven't been all that enjoyable, but they are about ready to get good. They are going to be getting good. If the series, if conventional wisdom is that the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to advance because they're up 3-1, then they're going to play the San Antonio Spurs, and that's a really, really good matchup. That's a really good series. If the LA Clippers, who I think are better than Portland, even though Portland won Game 3 at home, I think the Clippers are going to win that series. The Clippers against Golden State with Steph Curry out becomes a much, much more interesting matchup now that Blake Griffin is playing well. That's going to be tighter than you think. Over in the East, whatever. I don't even know anymore. Toronto. They're literally in a 7-2 matchup, a 2-7 matchup with Indiana, and it's literally flip a coin. Because that series is tied at 2. Boston and Atlanta, that series is tied at 2. And I'm a Celtics fan, and I wasn't really all that entertained. Although the overtime was pretty exciting, but it wasn't really that well played. Cleveland is miles ahead of everybody. They should roll to the finals. Where they could be waiting a Warriors team that's beat up, doesn't have Steph Curry, and very vulnerable. Who knows? This is why what happens Monday is a game changer. We could wake up tomorrow and find out that Curry's fine. Nothing to fear here. He's going to be great. In fact, he'll probably be ready to go in the next series to open it up. Fine. That's fine. But if he's out, if this is serious, if this knee is in bad shape and he can't go and he tore something or whatever it is, then it's wide open. Bring in more teams into play. San Antonio, Cleveland, possibly the LA Clippers now become in play. Oklahoma City, if they get past the Spurs, become in play. The Warriors are deep, but they're not win a championship deep. They are in a championship competitive. They can compete for a title. But the foregone conclusion that the Warriors, it's their title to lose with 73 wins on the board. Yes, they've got good players on that bench, but where in the world are you going to replace Steph Curry? And with who? It's not going to happen. So I hope the playoffs get a little bit more interesting. I really do. Again, Byron Scott fired by the Lakers. I think now they're going to go probably pursue Luke Walton. We'll see how that goes. I like Luke Walton as a hire. I'd just be a little bit nervous. It's going to be interesting. And by the way, in the NHL, the Jaromir Jagr run is over. This season, anyway. The New York Islanders beat the Florida Panthers. I remember Jaromir Jagr losing a playoff series like when I was in high school. And now here I am, older than dirt, and he is still playing hockey. God bless him. Well, he's not anymore, but still, God bless him. Yahoo Sports Radio.